You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome back to The Fighter versus The Writer. I'm your host, as always, Damon Martin, and we are back for another week after a crazy weekend at UFC 279. Probably one of the wildest weekends in terms of changes to a card, how it all unfolded, just a insane turn of events. Unfortunately, I had planned on actually breaking everything down with a special guest today, but unfortunately, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson was going to jump on with me, break down all the happenings from UFC 279, but he had to cancel at the last minute. Now, that being said, we will have a great interview today with former UFC welterweight champion and now star of Cobra Kai Season 5, Tyron Woodley, is going to join me here in just a few minutes to talk about his joining the show, you know, how that whole thing came about, starring in Cobra Kai, which I finished the season over the weekend. I loved that show, grew up a huge Karate Kid fan. You will not find a bigger Cobra Kai fan on the planet. I have my Eagle Fang and Cobra Kai t-shirts in the closet, so I'm a big fan of that show and the entire Karate Kid series. So talking to Tyron about all that and his fight career as well. It was a lot of fun. We talked about Jake Shields, Anderson Silva. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. So unfortunately, I won't have as in-depth of a breakdown as I wanted with Wonderboy, but I will still talk a little bit about UFC 279 real quick because it was, to quote Dana White, and, you know, not to get crude or anything here, but it was a bit of a shit show. You know, we go from the press conference getting canceled on Thursday because of the backstage altercations with Khamzat Chimaev, and not to throw the guy under the bus or anything, but it sure seems like Khamzat was kind of in the middle of everything. You know, he had a fracas with Kevin Holland, and he had a thing with Nate Diaz and his team, and not to say anyone's absolved from it, but it definitely seemed like Khamzat was in the middle of everything. So that was that. So we start there on Thursday, the whole press conference gets canceled. That was a weird one. You know, we've never really seen something like that happen where the backstage altercations actually cause the entire press conference to get canceled and then roll right into Friday morning. It seemed like Thursday seemed like a distant memory by Friday morning because I started getting reports that Khamzat may miss weight. I got a report about that early on Friday morning that he was not going to make weight and it was an issue. Then I heard he was going to weigh at least 178 pounds. He ended up being 178.5. The fight with Nate Diaz got scrapped. We ended up switching the entire card around. Every fight of the three main fights on the main card got switched around. So we had Li Jingliang, Daniel Rodriguez, we had Kevin Holland against Khamzat Chimaev, and Nate Diaz against Tony Ferguson. You could not have written this. If you were trying to, like, figure out the most wild, insane things to happen at UFC 279, no one would have predicted that particular thing happening. It's pretty crazy. So then moving on to Saturday to the fights themselves, of course, you know, Li Jingliang loses a close decision to Daniel Rodriguez. I know a lot of people are calling it a robbery. I scored Li Jingliang winning, but I don't think it was such a blowout that I thought it was a robbery. Close fight, yes. Did Li Jingliang probably deserve the victory? I would say yes, but I'm not totally shocked at the decision. It wasn't the most impactful fight. And I think when you have those kind of fights where there were no definitive moments, it does make it a little harder to score because there were some pretty even exchanges. It seemed like both guys were kind of tentative to engage at points. It did feel like, you know, Li landed the bigger strikes and he did more impact. So by that regard, he should have won. But I don't know. I tend not to call robbery unless it's really egregious, where it's just like so clear cut that it's a real big problem. And I just didn't quite see it in that fight. But that being said, you know, I still thought Li Jingliang deserved the win. Co-main event, you know, Khamzat Chimaev comes out there and kind of lays waste to Kevin Holland in 2 minutes, you know, basically runs out, takes him down, and eventually snaps on the Darce choke to get the submission. Got a lot of thoughts on Khamzat Chimaev. Listen, the guy missed weight by 7.5 pounds for a welterweight fight. Now, first off, that should ruin his prospects of getting a title shot anytime soon. One fight, two fight. I just don't think you can't. I mean, it's not like he missed it by a pound. It's not like he missed it by half a pound. It's not like he didn't shave his beard and he didn't get on the scale and he missed weight. He missed it by 7.5 pounds. That's a problem. That's a big problem. And one thing, Conor McGregor put the tweet out on Friday, I believe, or Saturday, saying, you know, you reward the guy by basically changing the entire card around. And he doesn't get penalized. He doesn't. And in a way, you know, in that way, I totally agree with Connor. I mean, what does it say to the next guy or girl who just doesn't want to cut weight? And you know, they have, I mean, again, this is all going around star power. Khamzat is a star. Khamzat was part of the big selling point of this card. So rather than penalize him for completely botching the main event and completely botching his weight cut, they switched the entire card around. The crazy part is, because he came in at 178.5 and they ended up moving him into the catchweight fight with Kevin Holland, he didn't even have to pay a fine. Think about that. The guy ruins the main event and doesn't, and then, you know, basically has to switch the entire card around, and he doesn't even get penalized for it. How wild is that? And I'm not, you know, I'm not opposed to them changing things around, but it just seemed like such a bad move, because this is going to happen again. I mean, it's going to happen again. And is it going to come down every single time to star power? Is it really just going to come down to, well, you sell pay-per-views or you bring ratings, so we're going to change an entire card around for you? And I felt bad for Kevin Holland as well, because, you know, yes, he accepted the fight. Yes, from what I heard, he got paid really well for it. Good for him. All those things are great, and he should have gotten paid just a bag of cash. They should have shown up, you know, they should have shown up like it was the town, and they're just hauling out bags of cash to Kevin Holland's house for doing what he did to take that fight. I mean, he was facing a boxer in Daniel Rodriguez already on short notice. Let's not forget that fight got made like 3 weeks ago, and he goes from that, a boxer in Daniel Rodriguez, to a wrestler, a dominant wrestler at that, in Khamzat Chimaev. You're a mixed martial artist. You should know wrestling. Yes, we all know that. We all like to say that. But you still drill for a specific opponent. Look at Nate Diaz. He talked about that in his fight with Tony Ferguson. He had been drilling, grappling, and wrestling nonstop to get ready for Khamzat. Then he goes from that to Tony Ferguson, which is a complete different stylistic matchup. Again, it was quick. It was over. He got out-grappled. He got out-grappled. He got submitted. And credit to Khamzat for not screwing around. He probably knew, you know, Kevin Holland, you know, potentially was a more dangerous opponent than Nate Diaz, because, you know, I still maintain Nate Diaz isn't a welterweight. He really isn't. I mean, he didn't look tiny in there against Tony Ferguson, but let's not forget, Tony Ferguson isn't a welterweight either. Throughout his career, Tony Ferguson has not been a welterweight. So, you know, for them to go in there and do that. And so, you know, I feel bad for Kevin, you know, but again, credit, Kevin stepped up. He took the fight. He got paid a big bag load of money. Good for him. But yeah, he went out there and out-grappled him and submitted him, and that's part of the sport. And the downside of this is that, you know, Khamzat, you know, Dana calls him an effing freak of nature and, you know, praises him left, right, and center. You know, Kevin Holland's going to go home with a loss on his record. I mean, I put out, when Kevin Holland released his post-fight statement saying, I want a striker next time, I want Wonder Boy, or I want D-Rod, Daniel Rodriguez, after losing a quote-unquote grappling match to Khamzat. And I already had people on Twitter saying, well, it's MMA, you have to know everything. That's my point about these short notice fights. Why I always say, if you accept a short notice fight, we should praise you. But if you don't, we should never condemn you, because people have already forgotten. People forgot that Kevin Holland already took the Daniel Rodriguez fight on 3 weeks notice, and then just completely discount the fact that he took the Khamzat Chimaev fight on 24 hours notice. He lost. It's a loss on his record. And people are going to ask him and talk about that for years, about how he went out there, got taken down, and submitted in 2 minutes. People will forget the narrative that surrounded how that fight comes together. Those are the factors you have to play in to all these decisions when fighters say they're going to take a short notice fight, or they accept a short notice fight, and then they lose. you know, we all lose perspective. We're all guilty of it. We look at the record. We look at the resume. It doesn't say Kevin Holland lost to Khamzat Chimaev, quote, you know, in parentheses, took the fight on 24 hours notice after fighting a striker. No, it just says loss. That's it. And it has a submission, has the time, 202 or whatever in the first round. People 6 months from now, a year from now, they're barely going to mention that he lost to him on short notice. They're barely going to mention that it came together on 24 hours notice. They're going to mention that he got taken down and out grappled and submitted inside about 3 minutes. That's what they're going to talk about. So that's the problem and the risk you take in these kind of situations. I don't think, you know, me personally, I don't really think Kevin Holland loses a ton of stock. I mean, he lost to legitimately one of the best fighters in the world, and he wasn't prepared for him, but it is a loss. And there's going to be people who are now going to suddenly say they don't want to fight Kevin Holland because he's coming off a loss. He got mauled by Khamzat Chimaev. I don't really want to fight that guy. It's a weird way this sport works. Now, Khamzat looked phenomenal. Khamzat went out there and wrecked shop. He looked fantastic, but he did it out of his weight class. He wants to be welterweight champion. You can't put that guy anywhere near a welterweight title for at least two or three fights till you can see and he can prove that he can make that weight. Me personally, he was already talking about fighting at 185 in the future. Let him go to 185. Let him go to middleweight. You know, there's a lot. I mean, to me, in a weird way, there's now a faster path, hypothetically, to a title shot at middleweight. Because if Khamzat goes out there and wins one more fight, and I think it should be the Paulo Costa fight. They had beef. They almost got into it at the UFC PI. We know the story. The video came out. If you put Khamzat in there with one middleweight, put him in there with Paulo Costa, he wins. He gets the winner of Adesanya and Pereira right there. I mean, yeah, you could hypothetically say if Alex Pereira goes out there and knocks out Israel Adesanya, they do the immediate rematch. But, you know, Khamzat could get a title because there's no one else. I mean, there's literally no one else at middleweight right now. Unless Alex wins, which he very well may do, there's no one else for Adesanya. Adesanya versus Khamzat is a much bigger fight than anything else they could book at middleweight. Now, you could argue Khamzat, you know, could get the winner of Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman 3 when that fight, assuming that fight happens in early 2023. But again, do you really want to risk that? I mean, he's going to have to fight a Colby Covington. He's going to have to fight, you know, somebody else at welterweight to prove he can even make the weight. You know what I mean? You got to, and to me, it's two or three fights. I mean, there's got to be consistency. I know this is the first time he's not made weight, but let's not kid ourselves. He's had tough weight cuts before. We've seen it. Now he's gone out there and performed and won, and that's very possible. But when you miss weight by 7.5 pounds, and that's a non-title fight, let's not forget, 178.5. That was a title fight. He's 8.5 pounds over. That's bad. Okay, that's bad. And this fight didn't come together on short notice. It wasn't like he found out about this a month ago. He knew this was coming. So this was just a completely miscalculated issue with Khamzat Chimaev. And you can't put him in a title fight for a couple fights, in my opinion. He's got to prove he can consistently make the weight again and do so in a safe manner, which is also, you know, if the doctors are telling him, we're not going to let you cut any more weight, that's a problem. I mean, I had heard that they were talking about taking him to the hospital, which would have pretty much wrecked him from fighting at all. So, credit to him for getting the win. But you can't put him in a title fight at welterweight. I mean, not anytime soon. He's got to go out there and fight one or maybe even two times. I think two times would be minimum. Or go to middleweight, fight Paulo Costa, huge fight. If you win, you get the winner Adesanya Pereira, and you get your title shot. And then if he can do it, he can do the rare instance. Instead of going up, he goes down. Maybe then he tries his hand at welterweight. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I agree with Connor. You're rewarding a guy for missing weight, and ultimately he really didn't get punished. He didn't lose a percentage of his purse. You know, he doesn't really lose any ground in the division because it's not like he lost. It's a problem. The main event, of course, was Nate Diaz and Tony Ferguson. Nate Diaz went out there and did the damn thing. On the last fight of his contract, looking to get out of the UFC, goes out there and fights and beats Tony Ferguson. Was it the greatest fight in history of the sport? Absolutely not. Was it still fun to see two legends go out there and battle it out? 100%. You know, again, both guys were expecting much different opponents. You know, Tony Ferguson taking on a big, you know, strong welterweight and Li Jingliang. Dana, you know, of course, Nate Diaz was taking on Khamzat Chimaev. So they went out there and battled it out, man. And Nate, you know, Nate caught him in that guillotine choke in the fourth round. And you could not have written a better script for Nate Diaz as he looks to leave the UFC and then test the waters in free agency elsewhere. I know Nate, I was actually shocked. Because I know from talking to people close to Nate how, you know, upsetting and angry he was about this long delay to get him a fight. I mean, his last fight was in July of 2021. He wanted to fight much sooner because he wanted to be done with this contract. Delays, matchups with Dustin Poirier were talked about, never came together. All these things happened, and he ends up in this fight, doesn't even get to fight Khamzat Chimaev, ends up with Tony Ferguson. But afterwards, Could not have predicted that he would go out there and say, you know, basically, thanks for everything, UFC, and I'll be back. Did not see that coming. Got to be honest. I don't know if that was a conversation he had with Nate, with Dana White backstage, or Hunter Campbell, or who it was. But it seemed like the turn of events for Nate Diaz going from, like, you know, I fully expected like just a full throated Nate Diaz, you know, crazy post fight interview and then storming out of the cage, not showing up at the post fight press conference and basically walking out with his freedom. That didn't happen. He was basically saying, I'm going to go out, do some other things, you know, try to do what Conor McGregor didn't do, which, you know, means go out there and win fights in boxing and then come back. Now, he's 37. Let's not forget that. He's, you know, Nate Diaz is not a young man anymore. You know, Nate Diaz is an older guy, so it's not like he has a ton of time really ahead of him in terms of the sport. But, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, you booked the Jake Paul fight. You know, Jake's got the fight coming up with Anderson Silva. That's going to be huge. But, you know, you booked Nate against Jake. You know, that's a big fight. He'll get paid well. There's other opportunities out there for him in other organizations. I'm sure, you know, there was a little bit of beef with AJ McKee. If Bellator wants to pony up a whole boatload of money to get Nate Diaz over there on a short fight deal, they could do that. That might entice AJ McKee to stay with Bellator longer. I don't know. He ain't going to PFL. I highly doubt that, even for the $1 million prize. I mean, that's, you know, that's just not going to get Nate Diaz up in the morning. But, you know, again, Jake Paul, other influencer fights. I mean, if you saw, whether you like it or not, and I said this last week coming off the whole KSI thing, the Social Gloves card this past weekend with Austin McBroom and Anson Gibb and Nick Young and Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson. Dude, the interest in that card was insane online. Now, I don't know how the numbers did on pay-per-view. I don't know how much Fight TV sold. I just know that the interest in terms of people clicking on results and clicking on stories was in freaking insane. People were all over that on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. People were all over that Social Gloves card. Like it or not. Again, I'm not telling you have to like it. I'm just saying it's here to stay. It ain't going anywhere anytime soon. Nate Diaz against KSI. That would be a big fight. I don't care how legitimate it is. It would be a big fight. So Nate Diaz has options, and I love that. And now he's going to become one of the biggest free agents in the history of the sport. He's going to have people bidding for his services. Nate Diaz is a legitimate star. Was a lot of that built upon his rivalry with Conor McGregor? Sure, but who cares? He's got it now. He's got that status, and he should absolutely cash in on it, whether it's Jake Paul or KSI or Logan Paul or whatever. Make your money, and I love it. I don't know about him coming back and winning a UFC title. I don't know if that's going to happen. He may go out and see that, you know, the grass is greener elsewhere and just make a boatload of money and be gone. But I loved it. I love that he has his freedom. I love that he got out of his contract. And I love that he did it in a very classy way. He could have gone scorched earth. I fully expected scorched earth Nate Diaz to show up, and he didn't. I'm fine with that, but it was just so bizarre. Like, he was very gracious and, you know, saying, you know, I'll be back and, you know, I want to win the UFC title. It's the best title. And I was like, whoa, this is not the Nate Diaz I thought we were going to get. I thought we were going to go, you know, we're going to lay waste to the UFC on the way out the door. Didn't happen. But whatever Nate Diaz does next, we're all going to be watching. I guarantee that, whatever move it is, Jake Paul or otherwise. And he is going to be at the Jake Paul fight. His teammate, Chris Avila, is going to fight on the undercard. So that should be interesting. All right. Getting through UFC 279. Of course, this weekend we got UFC Fight Night from Vegas with Corey Sandhagen and Song Yadong. Had Corey on the show last week. So if you missed that interview, go back and check out my interview with Corey Sandhagen on last week's installment of Fighter vs. the Writer. But right now, haven't had a chance to catch up with this guy in quite a while. We just actually passed a little over a month ago, a couple weeks ago, we passed the one-year anniversary of his first fight with Jake Paul. And that is UFC, former UFC welterweight champion Tyron Woodley. The reason I wanted to talk with him this time is because if you are a fan of The Karate Kid and Cobra Kai, which just dropped on Netflix a matter of days ago, Tyron Woodley is starring in the new season of Cobra Kai, season 5. Loved the season. Tyron was great in it. Did some incredible action scenes. Got to do some action scenes with some OGs of the game, Johnny Lawrence, William Zabka, which was really cool. Like I said, I love Cobra Kai. I'm such a geek for that show. I grew up on Karate Kid. That might have been one of the biggest influences on me getting into martial arts, was seeing the Karate Kid when I was a kid. I love it. So I wanted to talk about that with Tyron. We also, of course, do talk about Jake Paul. We talk about Jake Paul Anderson Silva, which is coming up. We'll get his thoughts on that and a whole lot more. So right now, here is my interview with Tyron Woodley. He is the former UFC welterweight champion, one of the greatest welterweights of all time, and he is one of the busiest men in the world, including a role in the upcoming season of Cobra Kai, which I am super excited about. I am always happy to speak to Tyron Woodley. T. Wood, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just a little legally driving, and knocking out this interview. But I wanted to talk with you because I know you've been asking me about the Cobra Kai thing. Wonder Boy actually leaked a little snippet about it earlier than he was supposed to. It was his first film that he worked on, so he just didn't know the proper way to kind of promote it. So then people started asking questions: Am I in Cobra Kai? Is Wonder Boy in Cobra Kai? And then once he posted that picture, they added a little small blurb of me and him on a trailer, so you can kind of tease the fact that we're in there. But they're not really going to talk much about it until today, which is the premiere. So I'm golfing real quick. That's why you see the golf drip. And then I'm heading over to get cut up, get suited and booted to go to the Cobra Kai premiere for season 5.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I was so excited when they put the trailer out. I was like, hold on. I know that guy. I saw you step off the plane. I was like, I know that guy. And I got excited, put out a tweet right away. You've been doing the acting thing for a while, and you've done a lot of big roles, Tyron. But this one, I don't know. Like, were you a Karate Kid fan growing up? I imagine everybody was, right?
This one kind of hit different because Karate Kid, started martial arts in general, you know what I mean? Karate Kid 1 is the reason why I started martial arts in general. So watching Daniel-san and watching Johnny and watching the whole thing, it's a classic film, and I suggest anyone who has not seen Karate Kid 1, not the one Jaden Smith, that was a smash as well, but the original Karate Kid 1. It's still a movie right now that I feel like if you play it, no matter how old or how young, you will still appreciate the movie. So just being able to start martial arts based upon that film, and then what I did in martial arts landed me a role in Cobra Kai, and I get to work side by side with these people that I looked up to for so long. And it was just a full circle moment for me. I'm excited about it. And I got a little ink to prove it. You know what I mean?
Oh, nice.
I've had this for so long. I fought Jake Paul with it. Nobody really paid attention and tripped out what it was. But I've had it since I did it. I did it while I was on set.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, it's funny because, Karate Kid, like in MMA, it's still huge. Like fighters walk out to the Karate Kid theme song. Yeah. People type, you hear it every single UFC event. I know you heard it. Someone yells, put him in a body bag. Without failure, somebody yells that at a UFC event. Yeah. Without fail, every single event. You've done a lot of cool things in your career in terms of your acting career. I remember when you did Straight Outta Compton, when you did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You did a lot of cool things, but like, was this one where you actually got to kind of geek out a little bit, like you're like, I'm in Cobra Kai.
I'm straight Cobra Kai. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a lifestyle, it's a culture. It's like the number one film on Netflix every time it comes out. You know what I mean? So to be able to be on a franchise like that with a pretty strong role in the actual entire season, it was a big deal for me. And I'm going side by side with Johnny and Daniel. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a real thing. And I'll be very noticeable. And my character has a strong presence, put it like that. And when you look at a Karate Kid, think about this. a karate kid in a sport of mixed martial art is like a diamond in the rough, right? You got a lot of wrestlers. You got a lot of strikers. You got a lot of jiu-jitsu guys. You got very few guys that can utilize the sport of karate and excel at a level, right? Or Lyoto Machida did, or Stephen Thompson, right?
Very Absolutely. Few.
I would say those are the top two. We've had others. George St. Pierre, you got to throw him in there. He came from a karate background, and whoever else. I might be leaving some others out. But it's not even a 1%, right? It's a 0.0-something percent of the people that can specialize at karate and have success. Wonder Boy, in my opinion, him and Lyoto Machida, 1 and 2, right? I don't know who's 1. I don't know who's 2. But to figure him out, to train to fight, it was the hardest, most expensive. I spent 6 figures in training camps to try to figure. And seven fight win streak, knocking everybody out, very hard to deal with. I think still today he's the quickest welterweight. I was may have been the fastest, most powerful, but he was quick. I saw what he was doing, and it still touched me. I saw him about to do a step off side kick, and it still hit me in the neck. Right, that's dangerous when you can like make that decision at the last minute to do something. So now he's with me. We on the same squad. We in Cobra Kai. That's a whole movie itself.
That's Yeah, that's amazing. You know, Tyron, like when you've done acting, you know, you've obviously done action roles. You've done, you know, a lot of acting. But like this is one where you're actually kind of going into your roots a little bit with martial arts. And I've seen the actors talk about like the training they do because it's a very physical show. You know, you have to look like you know what you're doing. How was that? Because, you know how it's supposed to look. You know how real martial arts look. You've been in there.
And I know my dogs too. So shout out to my dog, Don Lee. Ken Bakersfield, they literally are martial artists by heart, supreme athletes. They've done these choreography for so long. What you're finding out is all these stunt coordinators, stunt performers are now becoming directors. So when you watch the movie with Jamie Foxx and Snoop Dogg, that's J.J. Perry, Taekwondo guy, stunt performer, stunt coordinator, second unit director, now director. My friend Len Odian, which I'm going to golf with right now, he's the one that got me in the Straight Outta Compton, but he's also now NCIS Hawaii, Chicago Med, all these big features because they understand the action. They've learned the storyline, they learned the cameras, but they know the action. And right now, people want to see action. So if you from that world, it makes a TV show, Netflix, whatever, it makes it that much better. So when you look at Cobra Kai, these are martial artists, right? They're hiring martial artists. It's a whole Cobra Kai gym that you see on TV, but it's also one that we have, which I got keys to, a personal gym, like a full out, we can do anything. We can film a whole movie in there, right? So they're committed to giving the people that are bringing the action there, they're committed to giving us everything that we need. All the actors have to come in. They have to train with us. So I train most of the actors, not just the choreography, just martial arts. So they look it and feel it because being authentic is huge. Nobody want to see a movie and it's good and like, oh my God, that fight's in. So we know that she wasn't real, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask Tyron, because you mentioned earlier, you know, Wonder Boy is a guy who comes from karate, so you kind of think like that's kind of his background. How was it for you doing the karate? Like, I know you do everything in mixed martial arts. How was it for you?
It wasn't my background, but guess what? It became a part of it. It's like when Freddy Krueger, you see, eat all the damn people in the nightmares, and everybody became like a pepperoni or something on his face, right? He took the experience. So every time I fought a jiu-jitsu guy, I became a better jiu-jitsu player because I'm not just going to learn how to defend. No, I'm going to try to do that to somebody else. It's stuff that I've learned from Wonder Boy, from learning, you know, the reasons why he do certain things that I now have a part of my game. You know what I mean? I may not have had the opportunity, or I may have had the opportunity and not shown it, but I have those wrinkles now just from studying the kid. So it wasn't hard for me at all. Like, I understand it. I know how fast. I know the chamber. I know the control. I know I'm all into it. When I go ham, I'm going ham. So I'm going 10. I'm all with the Kias. I'm all with the Hayas, everything that go with it. So it'll be very believable. I think my fans and just the fans of the series, because I don't want to come on the series and do the series no justice, right? I think fans of me, fans of martial arts, and fans of Cobra Kai as a series are going to be pleased.
Yeah, you mentioned working with the legends, of course, guys. You know, like Ralph Macchio was on the show, of course, and you know, all the guys. How was it working with the younger kids? Because you're a sensei, you're a teacher.
I worked with the younger kids, Hawk and look Jacob. I trained them all too, and they like they so young, but they like my little brothers. Devin, I was very impressed with him. He plays Kenny on the show. This is going to be a breakout season for him, as not only as Cobra Kai. He's going to get a lot of roles after this. He's very believable. He learns quick. He's a natural at it. He very seldomly used a stunt double for them. I only saw once or twice. And it was a part where you know, me and him was kind of going. And he, you know what I mean? He's a little kid. You know what I mean? I'm 40 years old. So a touch to me may not be a touch to him. And I had to walk him through it. Come on, let me see his chin, man. Let me stretch you out. Because you don't know how to check a leg kick, right?
Yeah.
And just to see those guys grow and what they have to do, they have to go to school the same amount of hours they film. So we may be in the heart of a great scene and close to getting it done, and they may have to stop and go and do school for 2 hours and then come back and film for 2 hours. Yeah. So the younger cast, man, they got a great casting crew, obviously. Everybody makes you want to invest into them. And when you got a show like that, that's why it's number one. Like the Cobra Kai side, the other side, so many different kids that their story makes you want to just follow them.
Yeah. I know you weren't necessarily the first fighter to ever do acting, but you were one of the first fighters to ever do it seriously, like, you know, getting bigger roles and things like that.
I'm the first fighter that nobody talks about that's been in the most films of any fighter ever. Ronda Rousey and Randy Couture included. And Randy's my dog, so no shade on none of that. But I've been in some big, big franchise movie. Cutthroat City was number one. Cobra Kai is number one. I did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Sons of Anarchy, Last Ship, Night Shift, Office Uprising, where I was freaking college douchebag. So I did everything. Escape Plan 2 with Stallone, Batista. I was a Nigerian. I had an accent in that. So I've done a lot of different things. A lot of TV shows, a lot of gaming shows. Did Wildin' Out twice. I did the Titan game. I just did a show called, I don't know, I can't talk about that. I did a show in Ireland that's coming out. Yeah, so I've done gaming shows, reality shows, and I signed a deal for my own show. So I've been kind of doing this by myself on a different level, but now I have a great team with UTA. So I have agents and things like that that really put me in position to do well.
Yeah. Do you actually, now you have more time to do it, like, has that been a focus? Because, like, when I saw the Cobra Kai thing, I got excited because that is such a big show. Like, I'm sure it takes a lot of time and dedication to go in there and do that. You can't do it over a couple of days. You're there filming for weeks, maybe months at a time. So do you have the time now, like, where you can kind of dedicate it?
I had, like, a little place in Atlanta for a while. You know, they just paid for our housing. So instead of us doing a hotel room all those days, I just got a little small short-term rental kind of deal where I was there. I can cook, I can, you know what I mean, wash clothes. And I was, you know, thank God I was training, because I was training and I told my coach to stay ready. I did take a couple weeks off where I could have been training a little bit harder, but the martial art was keeping me moving. And then also I was doing some boxing there because in Atlanta, I trained with Manu at Madhouse. So I was able to get in with him. And thankfully and luckily, I was on set of Cobra Kai and I got a call from Nikisa, Jake Paul's manager, and said, "Hey, man, you know, they doing this interview. All these people are wondering if we paid you to throw the fight, man. I think you should come out and talk about it." And I was like, shit, I ain't talking about nothing, because if they talking about me, then they talking. I don't have to confirm. Some people think I'm retired. Some people think I threw the fight. Some people think all this other stuff. As long as people are thinking some shit about you, then you in the clear. When they stop talking about you and they stop thinking about you, that's when you got to go and fucking do something that you think is going to draw attention, which I don't do things for clout. So he hit me about that. And I said, "Well, I'm going to be real with you, Nikisa. I'm probably not going to do it, because that's not really what I'm on right now. I don't got to defend myself. And you guys maybe should not even try to defend yourself either." I said, "Well, let me sleep on it. If I wake up and got to change your heart, then I'll let you know." Right? And then he kind of threw in a little plug about, "Yeah, I don't, man, Tommy Fury, they're giving us heartaches about getting over here into the States, man." I'm like, "Well, you already know my number. He shouldn't be fighting Tommy anyway. So can let me know." The next day he hit me and said, "So what if hypothetically So I said, if we in a hypotheticals, motherfucker, you need me. So you in Atlanta, I'm in Atlanta filming Cobra Kai. I'm off on this day. Let's go grab some food. We grab some food. I said yes immediately. And I had 2 weeks to get ready. And I was filming 14-hour days. Sometimes we didn't finish filming until 1 a.m. My coach don't care. He trained Floyd Mayweather. What time you see Floyd running at nighttime? 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning. They don't care. So when I wrapped on set of Cobra Kai, I was training 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
For Jake Paul fight. Then get up and film all day again. And then they let my coach come on set, and I can train in between if we didn't have a scene. And then they altered the choreography. I was supposed to do a couple more stunts. They changed the choreography and had another person do a couple more beats so that I can leave on time and rapidly be to basically be done so I can actually go and train. You know how the film world works, right? We didn't rap, and my part was a very significant part to the episode. The whole episode was kind of climaxing to that point. So I had to do it. I committed to that. So I can't pull out. So on Thursday, we wrap at 2 in the morning, but we still didn't get to my part. Now, it's a film. I committed to the film. I got to continue to film. Friday, I was supposed to be in Tampa, right? So I stayed in Atlanta. Friday, I flew my entire family out Saturday so they could see me off. I don't fight without seeing my family. So I flew everybody to Atlanta. They got on the set of Cobra Kai. My son's in Cobra Kai, my oldest son. He is a partner there. I just threw that in on the low. So then they came out there, and my coaches stayed, security stayed, and I trained Saturday, Sunday. Monday, I wrapped up. I finished what they needed me to do. I hopped right on the plane. I went right to Tampa, right from there.
That's wild.
I had shit in my house, yeah. And I told him, I said, it's a mind thing. I said, I will be in better shape than him. He will be the one that's looking tired. Go back and watch the fight. I was winning the fight. I was bullying him. I was walking him down. He looked to be tired. He threw a punch at the same time I dropped my hand. I'll never, never, ever myself make that more than I got hit with a punch with my hand down. That's all it was. Because of adversity, just to get there, to train. Oh, my God. At 2 weeks' notice. Now, that's including, I'm only calling it 2 weeks because I didn't have to cut weight to make 192, right? If I had to cut weight like I did in MMA, it would be 1 week's notice. Because I can't even count that last week. I was cutting 30 pounds in MMA. I was cutting from 200 to 170 in a week.
That's wild. So you couldn't even talk about it, right? You're filming Cobra Kai. You can't tell people you're filming Cobra Kai, and you're stepping off a film set and stepping into a boxing ring. That's insane.
No, I flew from set. Everybody knew it. They all watched my fight in Puerto Rico. I flew from the set of Cobra Kai directly to Tampa. I didn't go home. Like I told you, I couldn't go see my kids. I never fight. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I'm always seeing my kids before I fight, right? That's who I'm fighting for. I need to see their little faces before I get on that plane. So when they get hard in there, I can want to fuck somebody up, right? So I flew them all to Atlanta, right? Flew them all to Atlanta, hung out with them. And then I left Cobra Kai. I flew out either Monday night or Tuesday morning directly to Tampa. And we was in fight week. I went from kicking, punching, chopping, and blocking to right in this dude's face talking shit in the press conference with no break in between.
That's wild. That is so insane to go from that. And you're, like I said, you're on a film set. You're in a different mindset, right? Like, you're in a whole different mindset, yeah. Acting and being on set and then going
into
that.
I'm trying to make it believable, but my hands can't be by my face. You block your face. That's not how stunt work works. You throw it from underneath your chest and chin, and you make it look very exposed and very wild and loopy, right? Boxing is a complete opposite. Hands up, tight, straight, clean. A to B, get to the target quick, move afterwards, right? Karate, and especially the stunt scenes, is, you give me a little bit, I give you a little bit, I look like I'm gonna die, I came from the depths, right? That ain't nothing to fucking do with what we do in martial arts, right? That's for film. But in real life, it's hit, not get hit. Damage and not get damaged, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So my mindset is not only just eating craft services and laughing and doing a scene and maybe having a whole day off, to, all right, this dude gonna try to knock my fucking head off. And I said that, and I said he got the power to knock me out, and I know that, but I got the power to knock you out too, and you know that. So when you come to fight tomorrow, I want you to know that in every depth in your body, every little vein that's popping with pumping the pulse, I'm going to try to hurt you tomorrow. And he said, I'm going to try to hurt you too. And that's, we kind of agreed to try to hurt each other the day before.
Yeah, that's so wild.
Shout out to Cobra Kai. Shout out to all the guys that supported me. My man Ken Bakersfield. I love you, my man. Appreciate you. He also is a second unit record on Stranger Things, collegiate D1 football player, but really just use that mindset. That's why we thrive together. Don Lee, we did our first damn movie together, Olympus Has Fallen, way back when. He always includes me on every film that he does. I appreciate him. And he's a real solid dude. And I feel like the integrity of this season was there. He got his first directorial debut. I was able to be the person he was directing. That meant a lot to me. Shout out to literally are like rocket scientists. They get every demographic, they get every person, every age, and they make everybody buy in. And it's not, I watch them, I listen to them, I hear the rationale why they doing certain things, and you gotta give them credit where it's due.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Can I ask real quick, you mentioned all the craziness surrounding that and actually going into the Jake Paul fight. You couldn't even really talk about it because you're on a freaking film set, leaving there to go fight. Can I ask real quick, Tyron, did you see the news, Jake Paul and Anderson Silva?
I did see that, man. I don't stay up with the internet a lot. I just do it to tap in with my fans here and there and, you know, pay a couple lights here and there. You know what I mean? But I just try. I'm in a process of living life. We sit there and we scroll so much, we watching it on the phone, but I'm trying to get out there and live it. So, but I did see that. I think it's a good fight. When I hear people say, oh, now he's finally fighting a real fighter, that shit right here is funny. But Anderson Silva is a good boxer. I would say he was one of the best boxers in MMA. I feel like I got to biasly say Jorge Masvidal, in my opinion, is the best boxer we've ever seen in MMA, based upon the fact that he pieced up KJ Nunes in the worst way, and that was supposed to be the best boxer in Strikeforce at the time. And every time he had a chance against Nate Diaz or anybody who would just strike Eve Edwards, I was in the corner for that. Outside of that, Anderson Silva's right up there and a few other guys, just pure boxing. So I would say maybe on paper, yeah, I say the majority of people that are watching, yeah, I think as a kid, yeah, I want to see him just get beat up. It's like the bully that everyone wants to see somebody teach him a lesson, but it's really a hat trick. He's training his ass off. He's athletic. I saw that again. I know a lot of people want to see Jake Paul get beat up. You know what I mean? And they want to see him taught a lesson like the bully on the playground. But he really is a kid without a kid. Not very much responsibility. No financial limitations. Energy. He makes everything a bucket list and a challenge, right? That's why he likes to bet so much. So if he loses, it's not that big of a deal. But he secretly wants to win real bad because he's been fans of the combat sport world for so long. I got so many videos of the babyface Jake Paul wanting to take pictures with me and Logan and being fans of me back in the day that he's just tricking everyone. But he's training his ass off. And he's got KO power. And he's learned when to throw that particular punch. And he got good timing on it. So, Anderson Silva, I don't even know what to call it. I guess it's comeback. Whatever he's been doing recently in boxing after UFC just tells you recognize, right? If you feel like you're being treated well, you feel good, you know what I mean? You kind of sometimes fight differently, right? You see people that get in happier situations. So I think on the way out, he may have kind of just been going through the motions. And this new freedom he has, which I have as well, and I enjoy it. It gives him that light to the flame underneath him. So I think you got to motivate Anderson Silva. You got Jake Paul that no matter what you say, he can deal with media and still fight. Most fighters can. Right?
Absolutely.
It's too much to do both. So he's shown he had no point, no choice from the beginning. That's the way it was, and he's shown that he can fight that way. I think it's a good fight. I'll probably be there.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. I really look forward to it. Tyron, in addition to Cobra Kai, you mentioned you're on the golf course. I see you're golfing all the time. By the way, I forgot to say at the top of the interview, and I apologize. Congratulations on your engagement. I saw the photos. That's amazing. Congratulations there. You're golfing. You always got a million things going on. So what's coming next? Like you again? Are you becoming a pro golfer? Like are you doing pro golf now? Like,
celebrity smoke, everybody want a curry, you can get it. I played in a LIV golf tournament. That's the people that offer T Woods, Tiger Woods, $900 million. He said no. I just did a pro-am tournament in Boston, Massachusetts, a little bit outside Boston last week. I'm probably going to do the one in Chicago. So I need that celebrity. I like the competitiveness of it, right? So I'm going to golf right now with my homie, Lynn Oding. He's one of the directors from Cobra Kai. He got me in the film. He got me training Eve Edwards, found me on MySpace, said, can you help my homie Eve Edwards with wrestling? I'm like, I don't know who the fuck Eve is. He sent me this video of this dude doing all these crazy kicks. I'm like, all right, cool. That's kind of how I started training MMA, for real. He took me golfing for the first time in February. So this is the second time I'm going golfing with him. I'm late. He's really a stickler on time. So I'll crack a joke or two when I walk in.
So you never golfed before February?
February 12th was my first day. I golfed with him in Hawaii. He said, hey, man, I wish I would have invited you to Hawaii. I said, nigga, invite me then. And he said, all right, cool. Then he said, all right, we're filming this NCIS Hawaii tomorrow. I said, all right, cool. He said, but you got to have COVID. I said, all right, cool. I did it right then, 5 a.m. The next day I was there. I filmed the show. He said, you want to go golfing? I said, yeah. I went golfing with him. I bought the most ridiculous everything. Everything Tiger Woods had, Scotty Cameron putter, Stealth driver, Jordan 4 golf shoes, and I went golfing. They said, dude, you need to do golf lessons. Like, you guys got on the green in 2 strokes on a par 4. That's not normal. I think we birdie putted as a team, as a scramble, but from what I understand, the amount of time I was in golf, I was doing very, very well. So then I did golf lessons every week, Top Golf every week. Now I golf 3 or 4 days a week. So now he get to see me after that from February to now. So I'm going to try to surprise him.
Well, you always got to
know. What I'm talking about? I want to flip the camera. Guess where I'm about to golf at? I'm about to golf in a golf course called Woodley Lake Golf
Course. Nice.
Avenue right now. I don't know if it's.
Oh, there. I see it. Yeah, I see it.
You always got to keep the seats. You know why? Because people will swear you a lie.
That's crazy. I saw you post all the golf photos. I was like, oh, you must have been golfing for a while. You've been golfing for like 10 months. That's crazy.
February is like, I'm like 7 months I've been golfing.
That's crazy. That's so crazy. Tyron, I appreciate you doing this on short notice. Obviously, Cobra Kai dropping. I cannot wait.
I want to tell you, fans, I know you're going to get motion sickness, not because of the waves on top of my head, but because of the way I've been swerving and flipping the camera and jumping back on and off. But you can hear my audio. This is a real from the realest. Damien, I appreciate you, my dog. Be blessed. I'm going to get out here and try to drive this stealth driver 300 yards. That's my goal today, 300.
I love it. Tyron, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A big thank you, of course, to Tyron Woodley for coming on the show. It had been a while since I had a chance to catch up with Tyron. So glad he's doing well, doing the golf thing, doing the acting thing. I think, of course, he's still not done with his fight career. He's got a lot going on. He just got engaged. So I'm glad he's keeping busy and doing a lot of great things out there. He was one of the kind of first guys to really get into acting during his fighting career. He got a lot of action scenes. Like I mentioned during the interview, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he did Straight Outta Compton. And of course, now he's doing Cobra Kai. So it's always cool to see Tyron pop up in those kind of things. And, glad he's having a great career outside of the UFC. And I'm sure the other opportunities are going to come if he wants to fight again. There's going to be other, other shows, other matches, things like that. But he's keeping himself busy with acting and doing golf and things like that. So glad Tyron's doing well. One of the good dudes in the sport, and I was real happy to catch up with him for the show. And of course, Cobra Kai Season 5, it's on Netflix. I binged it this past weekend, watched every episode in like 2 days. Couldn't wait. I love that freaking show. It's so much fun. And if you're a fan of The Karate Kid, I mean, come on, if you haven't watched it already, I mean, come on. I mean, go binge it right now. Cobra Kai is freaking awesome. So it was fun to talk about the show, but also to watch it this past weekend and see Tyron. I always get a little bit geeked out when I see fighters I know, get roles like that. And of course, Tyron was in there. Wonderboy. Actually, Eric Anders is also in the new season of Cobra Kai. He plays a small part in one of the early episodes. And then Wonderboy's also got a small part. Tyron is in more of the episodes than Eric or Wonderboy. He's in most of the season. He shows up, I want to say, like this, it's 10 episodes, and he shows up in 5 or 6 episodes. So Tyron's got a beefier part, but Wonderboy's also in there, and Eric Anders is also in there, which is really cool. All right. Want to say a big thank you, of course, to Tyron Woodley for doing the show. We'll be back next week with more Fighter versus the Rider. Lots more coming. Lots of events coming up, of course. Going into October with UFC 280, huge fight coming up there. Lots of fight night cards. We're going to have Mackenzie Dern on the show coming up. She's got a fight October 1st. And, of course, this weekend, Corey Sandhagen and Song Yadong. As I mentioned, if you missed my interview with Corey Sandhagen, he'll be that's last week's podcast of Fighter versus the Rider. So check that out with Corey Sandhagen as we talk about his fight with Song Yadong, Aljamain Sterling versus TJ Dillashaw, and pretty much a lay of the land at welter at bantamweight, excuse me. So go check that out if you get a chance at some point. That's over available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course over on MMAfighting.com. Want to say a big thank you as always to everyone that tunes in each and every week to the Fighter versus the Rider. We really do appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.